A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on October 23, 1988, entitled, Only God Could Do Anything with the Church. The scripture reading is 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 12. The text for the sermon is 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
We are concentrating on the church. It's a good time to do that. Worldwide Communion Sunday, the first Sunday in October, reminds us of the unity of the church, the oneness of the church. We were challenged by Jim Van Hoven to take up the mission of Christ, to speak a word of liberation to all those who were oppressed. Last week we noted that Christian ministry is a shared ministry. It is our common ministry, the ministry of us all. Next week is Reformation Sunday. At the first hour, St. Mary's choir will be with our choir, and at the second hour, our choir will be at their choir. If I were you, I'd go to Mass. I'll be here. I will be left. Nancy will be here. For the rest, we'll take our chances. But isn't that a wonderful way to celebrate Reformation Sunday? The two parishes worshiping together, recognizing each other's ministries. The next week, the program we did some years ago, the Great Parade, All Saints Day, we celebrate the people who have gone before us and brought to us the good news of Jesus Christ. So it's a good time to celebrate, to focus upon the church. Today, the message has to do with the flawed nature of the church. I've entitled the message, Only God Could Do Anything with the Church. Only God could do anything with the church. Because the church is flawed to the very core. The church is the body of Christ. Jesus himself is the head. We are the body. And because we are the body is flawed. And perhaps the most encouraging words in the scripture are the opening salutation of Paul to the congregation at Corinth in the two letters we have in the New Testament. Paul greets them as the church of God in Corinth. The church of God in Corinth. And if Paul's problem people in Corinth could be addressed as the church of God in Corinth, then for the rest of us, it's a piece of cake. Paul addressed his letters in the New Testament to concrete churches with concrete problems. And because Corinth had so many problems, they got two letters. And Bible scholars tell us there may even be parts of a third one there. And maybe the U.S. Postal Service might have lost their letter, another one along the way. Who knows? But Paul was in correspondence with that congregation because Corinth was Paul's problem congregation. Had all kinds of things wrong. And one of the things they did do was challenge his apostolic authority. And so in the second letter, from which we read a moment ago, he deals with a lot of autobiographical stuff in which he affirms his own call and an apostolic witness and affirms his love for them. And in the midst of it, as we read, he says, the ministry is a ministry that has been given to us by the mercy of God, and he rejoices in it. And he says, since we have been given this ministry by the mercy of God, we never lose heart. We are never discouraged. And two or three times, as that context goes on, he says, therefore we never lose heart. Therefore we are always confident. And the confidence of Paul leaps off the page in the midst of his communicating with these problem people, this church of God in Corinth. And he affirms that because it is a ministry committed to him, of which he is humbly grateful, that he has given up all underhanded ways and all coercive and manipulative methods and all tampering with the Word of God, and has simply set forth the truth before the common conscience of his fellow men. For he says, it's not ourselves that we preach, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. And then comes our text. It says, but we have this treasure of the gospel, this treasure of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Clay pots, not spode china, not cut crystal, not shiny brass, but the vessel that holds the treasure is simply a flawed clay pot. Exceedingly ordinary. Exceedingly vulnerable and in many ways flawed. Now, I think Paul might have been thinking somewhat personally of his own life and ministry, but I don't think we twist the text if we say this morning that that is a good description of the whole church. I really think Paul was thinking about the whole church, even though it was a rather personal statement of his own self-understanding and the understanding of his ministry. This morning, I want you to see that the church is a flawed instrument which God uses for the bringing of light and life to the world. The church is an earthen vessel. We are earthen vessels. We are clay pots. And when you think of the church in Corinth, you can understand that Paul was vividly aware of the vulnerability and the flawed nature of the church. Now he says, to the church of God at Corinth. I'm so glad he said that. To the church of God at Corinth. And then he starts out with their divisions. Some said they were of Paul, and some of Apollos, and some of Cephas, and some of Christ. Paul says, was Paul crucified for you? I came among you knowing nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. There is one Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the unity of the church. What are you doing, choosing up sides? A little Apollos group and a little Paul group and a little Cephas group and a little Jesus group? He says, when I came among you, he said, I would like to have shared with you the deep things of God, but I had to give you milk, unspiritual that you are. And he went through the letter and there were all kinds of problems. Problems of broken fellowship, the divisions, the broken fellowship at the Lord's table. We saw at the Worldwide Communion Sunday where some wealthy people who had the afternoon off came with their picnic baskets and got snockered before the poor slaves could come who didn't even have a brown paper bag. And then there were the divisions according to spiritual gifts, the spiritual pride that was rampant in Corinth. Somebody popped up here and began to speak in tongues and said, if you don't speak in tongues like I do, you ain't much. And someone else had a little group going in healing, and someone else had a little group going with prophecy, and some other group was doing this or that. All of these groups dividing up sides, trying to say my gift is superior. Paul said, all gifts are of the Spirit, and all gifts are for the upbuilding of the body of Christ. And I'll show you a more excellent way, though you have the tongues of men and of angels. If you have not love, you are nothing. Love, faith, hope, that's where it is. There was one family that was bringing another family to law court about something or other. Paul said, shame on you, can't you settle it within the fellowship? There was a young man living with his stepmother. Paul says, shame on you. Even the heathen don't do that. Deal with that situation. So they dealt with that situation. They ground him into the dust until Paul had to call him off. He said, hey, I didn't want you to break him. I just wanted you to get at him, to bring him back in a redemptive kind of way. Corinth managed to do it all wrong. The church of God at Corinth. And that's the way it is. The way we are too. The church is a clay pot. The church is an assembly of ordinary people. The church manifests all of the flaws, failings, and vulnerabilities of the common lot of humanity. We haven't always wanted to admit that. The attitude of the church has often come off as a rather self-righteous spiritual elitism. There's been a great deal in the history of the church where the church has kind of looked down its nose at those who are not of her number. As a matter of fact, there is no legitimate looking down at anyone, for the church is just ordinary people in solidarity with all other ordinary people. There's no room for spiritual elitism of a superiority kind of attitude. There is simply no place for triumphalism. That attitude, that spirit, that pride, that self-righteousness is offensive. One of the great barriers to the witness of Jesus Christ in the world. Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We are clay pots. There is nothing to which the world in general is liable to that is not present within us. There is no sin out there that is not potentially in here. The line between the world and the church, the line of evil is not between the world and the church, but runs to the heart of every individual. We're ordinary people. We're clay pots. The church is as weak, as guilty, as sinful as we are assembled here this morning. You might say, well, doesn't the grace of God impact a life a little bit? Doesn't it make any difference that one has been touched by grace? Isn't there such a thing as progress in sanctification? Yes, yes, there is. So much. Friends, we aren't much. And we have no cause to march through the world with anything but an authentic statement, but for the grace of God. Earthen vessel, that's what we are. But we hold a treasure. We do hold a treasure. The Church of God in Corinth, the Church of God in Spring Lake, is only a clay pot, but in the pot is a treasure. The treasure is the grace of God as it has appeared in Jesus Christ. The treasure is that good news that God is not some capricious tyrant to be feared and cowered before, but is a gracious Father who can be trusted and loved. The treasure that we hold is a message about the significance and meaningfulness of life. It is a message about hope and about the coming consummation of all things. The treasure that we hold is that good news that has been revealed to us supremely in the face of Jesus Christ, so that we are the people who know that because, not in spite of, but because of our own weakness, our own frailty, our own guilt, because of our own flawed nature and our vulnerability to all human weakness, because of that, we have offered to us the forgiveness of our sins through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is not something that we thought up together as we got our heads together. That is not some human proposition that has been garnered through the wrestling of human intellect and human ingenuity. The knowledge that we have of God in Jesus Christ is not some innate idea in the human breast that has at some point or other simply manifested itself here and there. That is a message that has come because God has reached out and in the face of Jesus Christ has said to us, you are forgiven, you are loved, you are embraced now and forever. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a treasure. And the only difference between us and the rest of humankind is the fact that we have known it and we've come to experience it and we live in the light of it. That's the treasure. And not only that God is gracious, but that our lives have significance and meaning. That we're just not going passing our days willy-nilly, wandering hither and yon. Sound and fury meaning nothing. But rather that God is working His purposes out, that somehow or other in and through the fabric of history there is a tapestry that is being woven by the eternal God who loved us before the foundation of the world and one day will bring all things to consummation when all things will be united in Jesus Christ. We live within that framework. And again, that's not something we thought up. It's not something of human derivation. That is not something that one would come to philosophically. That is a truth of revelation. That is a consequence that the gospel has exploded in the world. That's the treasure held in this fragile, flawed clay pot. How do we know it? We know it because there's been, down through 2,000 years, a fragile, flawed clay pot. Not only that life is meaningful, but that there's hope, that there's a future, that things are going somewhere and ultimately will mean something, that there is coming a day when all of the darkness and anguish and pain of this world will be put away, that there is coming a day when evil will be put down, that there is coming a day when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. When we'll join with all God's people singing, Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigns. That's not something that's a consequence of some PhD dissertation, some research into the structure of human history. That's an article of faith. And you've got to be a little crazy to believe it. It's our treasure. And it's held in that clay pot. And for 2,000 years, and for 1,500 years before that, Israel. So for what? Roughly 3,500 years, there's been a people of God of which we are a continuing part. Israel and the church, flawed, weak, vulnerable, disobedient, guilty, breaking fellowship, breaking morality, being wrong in doctrine, everything that can be said about the common human lot must be said about the people of God with this addition. The people of God are the church of God, who contain the message which alone is our hope. And so where would we be? Where would we be without the church? How would we know 2,000 years later that the light of the knowledge of the glory of God was revealed in the face of Jesus Christ if there hadn't been apostles and prophets and ordinary folk for 2,000 years who have gathered in Jesus' name? How would we know that bread broken and a cup poured out gives us communion with the living Lord? Except for 2,000 years, there have been people who have gathered around the table in great cathedrals and open fields and have said, "This is the body and the blood of the Lord." How would we know if through all of those years, with all of the darkness and all of the disobedience and all of the error and all of the moral failure and all that's wrong, how would we know? There hadn't been those like us, kept the story alive. Ah, the treasure. In a clay pot, which points clearly, as Paul says, to the fact that the transcendent power is of God. The transcendent power is of God. I believe in the church because I believe in God. I would despair of the church if I didn't believe in God. But I believe in the church because I believe it is the church of God. Be easy to leave it. Easy to leave it. Easy to be despairing, discouraged, disgusted. That's all we got. We ain't much, but we're all God's got. Obviously, the transcendent power is God's. By God, we're the church. By God. And I wouldn't be able to believe it if I were not able to sit here and look into your faces. By God, I believe.